Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahabhiryankaravavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastamavidyavishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, top of page 9. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.5.8. The soul within the body is self-luminous and is separate from the visible gross body and invisible subtle body. Vyakta av yaktayoh. It remains as the fixed basis of changing bodily existence, just as the ethereal sky is the unchanging background of material transformation. Therefore, the soul is endless and without material conception, comparison. So we're trying to get the point is that we're going into the subtle aspect, right? So avyakta can't be, how you say, gross. That's the point. The unmanifest means what's subtle behind, so that will technically mean then what's behind. The gross body can't be the avyakta. Right, because they're saying, because you can't see it, so you should be able to see it, so therefore then they include the body. But that's not the actual point. Sutra 143. Tad adhinatvat arhatvat. Tad, on him, abhinatvat, because of dependence, arhatvat, possessing the meaning. Pradhan is useful, since it produces the world under the Lord's direction. Sutra Prakashika. Did we finish the on the bottom, the footnotes yesterday?
No, that's the six.
Half of it is.
Okay, seven is for this. Okay. Here, the sutrakar uses the word abhinatvad in order to stress Pradhan's lack of independence. Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan will cite numerous passages from both Shruti and Smriti, which defeat the Shankya misconception that Pradhan is the original cause. In fact, Pradhan is naturally inactive and acts only when inspired by the glance of Brahman.
Sutrakara would be?
Vyasadeva. Means who's written the sutras. Right? The kara means who's done, so then the sutrakara means the one who has, you know, written or produced the sutras.
And the second one, Pradhan is inactive. Avyakta would also be inactive then, even though they're separated there.
Yes. The whole point is the material energy is inactive because you're having the Pradhan in these three stages, well, actually four stages. You can have Pradhan as itself, which is just the material energy homogeneously all mixed up. Right? Then you have it separated as avyakta. Then you have it empowered in everything with the jivas, their false ego, and time as the mahatattva. Then you have Brahma's creation, where you see the manifestation here. But in all cases, it's always inactive. So it's only because of the Lord's potencies then it's functioning. Right? The higher potencies that are functioning. So the jivas there as an instrument, but the actual functioning will be because of his, of the influence of his internal potency.
Mm-hmm. So Pradhan in this case, in the case of the force place, would be what, the material cause?
Yes, but in here, then they're taking it back, because in all these schools, they're always trying to get everything to go back to Pradhan. because they feel that the difficulty that's come up, you know, the challenges that are there in human life are due to the manifestation of Prabhudaan, right? So now if it again goes back to the unmanifest state, then the jiva in that liberated condition will no longer suffer. Does that make sense? So they all accept generally that the soul is existing, except for the, you know, the Mayavadis, because that's actually Buddhism, you know, where there's nothing. But just that the, what do you call it, there won't be any material manifestation, therefore no material desire, no material endeavors, no material results, because that's what's seen by someone who's intelligent, that's where all the problem comes out. Right? But they're not intelligent enough to know that beyond is the Supreme Lord, the relationship with the Supreme Lord, that's the actual, real position of the soul. Does that make sense? Yeah. So all these different Nyaya, Vaisheshika, Shankhya, Yoga, you know, they're all ways to just get it back to the Pradhan. That's all they're trying to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's why, other than the Vaishnavas are the only one that say that the soul is coming from the Supreme. Everyone else, soul's coming from matter.
From Pradhan.
From Pradhan. Like that. So that's the thing, that there's the difference. So all materialists think the soul comes from matter. Right? And only the Vaishnavas understand that the soul comes from the Lord. Is that what it means? Yeah. Okay, footnote 7. The idea that Prakriti is the ultimate cause of the world is refuted in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.10.45. There is no direct engineering by the Lord for the creation and destruction of the material world. What is described in the Vedas about his direct interference is simply to counteract the idea that material nature is the creator. Right? So things that indicate that he's doing it are only to show that material nature is not doing it on its own. It's by the potency of the Lord that it's happening. Does that make sense? Because otherwise he's not involved. Because it's not Brahman, Brahma Parinamavad. It's not that Brahman transforms. It's Shakti Parinamavad. It's Shakti is transforming. Right? So, therefore, he's in control of the Shaktis. Therefore, the influence of his transformed Shaktis, they then make the material energy work. But he directly doesn't deal. He only deals with his internal potency. The internal potency transforms and control, and therefore the external potency functions. Right? Srila Prabhupada's purport is a refutation of Shankhya philosophy. Right? So we accept the Shankhya that Kapila Muni gives, because that's the Vaishnava understanding. That's how the material Shankhya simply is analysis of the various elements that are there, so you know how to what to do with them, what's the proper position. So when you start from Krishna and come down, then it works properly. But if you just start from Pradhan and come down, that's the atheistic one. That's then what we're defeating here. The Vedic direction for the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material world is this. Yato va imani bhutani jayante yena jatani jivanti yat prayant abhisham vishanti. In other words, everything is created by Brahman. After creation, everything is maintained by the Brahman. And after annihilation, everything is conserved in Brahman. Gross materialists without any knowledge of Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan conclude material nature to be the ultimate cause of the material manifestation. And the modern scientist also shares this view that the material nature is the ultimate cause of all the manifestations of the material world. This view is refuted by all Vedic literature. The Vedanta philosophy... Wow. Finally did it, huh? Okay, because we're done with that one anyway. Okay. Does it go on, or is this?
No.
Okay, I was going to say, if it goes on, that's even more amazing. So, the Vedanta philosophy mentions that Brahman is the fountainhead of all creation, maintenance, and destruction. And Srimad Bhagavatam, the natural commentation on the Vedanta philosophy, says, Janmadyasya yatoan vayad itaratas chartesva vigyasvarata, etc. Inert matter is undoubtedly energy, right? So we see the Vedas, they will deal with all this understanding, but they'll generally refer to it as Brahman. They'll be talking about Brahman as a person, right? So therefore, because you're looking at how he's creating and doing everything, because everything here is manifest through Brahman, right? Let's say we have, there's material world, you have the concept of pillars. Anyone can build a pillar. But where does the principle of pillar come from? Right? That potency that there's a pillar and it functions, that's Brahman. Because it's not personal. It's not this pillar over here. That's specific. But when we just say pillars, or trees, or people, or dogs, or nature, all that's impersonal. Right? Because the concept that impersonal means void is an illusion. It doesn't exist. There is no such thing. Right? Does that make sense? So, but all this is based on the supreme Brahman. So it means the person, his expansion of the, or say his feature of the Brahman effulgence, that's what's pervading and that's what's making the whole material world work. Material world is coming out of that. You know, just the example given is like you have a field. And on the field, then you plant seeds, all the plants come up, but these plants are just the field. They're just various manifestations of the field. It's only earth. Right? Does that make sense? So therefore, when we say Brahman here, we mean the supreme Brahman, but we're discussing his feature as the all-pervading Brahman, the impersonal Brahman, because that's what's dealing with the material world. You understand? That's the existence of the material world. Now the operation of it, then he'll do that as Paramatma. And the desire for that, that is Bhagavan. But if we're just dealing with the creation, trying to figure out if we're the soul or not, if we're the body or not, if everything's from Pradhan or not, then we're just dealing with the basic level of Brahman understanding. So the Upanishads will use the term Brahman. But Brahman means transcendent. So the Jiva is Brahman, Pradhan is Brahman, the Lord is Brahman. He's the supreme Brahman, because everything else is Brahman. So therefore everything goes back to Brahman. Right? It means it all goes back to spirit. Does that make sense? Yeah.
When we distinguish between the causes, causation.
Okay.
So can we say that in this sense, if we talk like this, then material nature would be Brahman or Pradhan would be the material cause? Because it supplies the...
No, Brahman we would take as the original. And then the internal potency would be the formal. Then the jiva would be the instrumental, and then the material energy would be the material cause. Because what's happening is that Krishna, by his desire, then there is certain forms, those forms have actions, those actions give results, those results give experience. That concept is all coming from the Lord. How is that carried out? Through his energy. So that's the formal cause. In other words, he has that desire, the energy then makes that possible. Right? That's within the spiritual world. Now within the material world, you have the reflection of that. Right? So his internal potency transforms into the external, so it's actually the external potency is doing everything. Right? And the jiva, they think that they're the original cause, so they try to take the position of the Lord. And so, even though they're just an instrument, they think that they're the one doing it. Because if you ask who boiled the potatoes, then you'll say, I boiled the potatoes. But the point is actually the water that was hot from the fire in the pot boiled the potatoes with the time factor. All we did is somehow or another arrange the potatoes were in the pot with the water, put it on the fire and lit it. So we're only an instrument, but the transformation we had nothing to do with. We were only an instrument so that particular transformation would take place. So that's what we can do. We can take part in the transformations as assisting in that process. Right? Because we're not the cause of it, we're not the basis of it, and we're not the goal of it. Because we're coming from the Samvit potency. Right? We're extending from there. So it's part of the Kriya Shakti. So that means then our business is assisting in the activities. Right? Does that make sense? But when Kriya is under when you say the Samvit is under Hladini, then that together that's bhakti. So then working in bhakti, that we're taking part in the transformation, assisting in that for the pleasure of Krishna, that's the devotional service, that's our position. So that's what it means by we're in the fire of devotional service. Right? So that mood of the Hladini, that's what we take part in. But we're an instrument, so we take part in the assisting in the transformation to get results that are pleasing to Krishna. Does that make sense? You know, you go out, cook lunch to offer to Krishna. So we take part in that process where the raw ingredients are transformed into cooked items that can be offered to Krishna. You understand? But we're not actually doing it. We're only assisting in it. But the whole point is, since it's about relationships, then whether we're doing it or not, it doesn't matter. Right? We can think, no, but unless I do something, how can I, you know, we can get into all these kind of head trips. But let us say, take some kids out in the backyard. Right? And when they're out in the backyard, then they're cooking. Right? And they're eating, serving, eating, describing how nice it is, all that kind of stuff. Right? So, do they actually have to cook to have that experience and have that interaction? No. They don't require it at all. You understand? So that's the whole point. Relationships are based on having an excuse to interact. Right? You need a place, so you go outside into the backyard. This isn't too archaic talking about backyards, right? People have heard of backyards, right? So. Yeah. Yeah, we've heard of them. We read about it in books that people used to have backyards.
You know.
Yeah, in the history books, yeah. 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 So, they're simply creating a situation. It means just like, do you need a living room with couches and chairs and side tables and magazines on the coffee table and all those things to actually have a conversation with somebody? No. But by having that, it's a situation in which it's there. You understand the concept of a conversation piece as part of the furniture in the house? Is that something, or that's really archaic? Huh? That's really archaic. Because before, when you had, how you say, before New Age was called New Age, you know, back in the, you know, you go back in time, anywhere, probably from the Renaissance on, that you would have items, you know, if you were, especially the more well-to-do people, they would have items that come from far-off places. You know, something from the Middle East, something from the Far East, you know, something from the Americas, or, you know, anything that's not local. You know, or it's something very uniquely made in that. That would be placed in different places in the house and where you could see it and all that. And it's called a conversation piece. Because by seeing it, well, wow, what's this? Where it's from? What's the thing? What's the history? You know, yes, my great-grandfather, then he was, you know. And it's a whole thing. So it's all it is excuses to start interaction. You understand? That's the whole thing. When you're dealing with the culture, It's designed to create interaction. The modern doesn't have such a thing. In fact, you know, who wants to interact? That's why everyone has a smartphone and they have internet. Right? Even if you don't have any talk time, you can still survive as long as you have internet. You know? Like that. Does that make sense? So it's not about interacting with people at all. So people don't actually even understand how that works, or even why you'd want to do it. So the whole thing is that Krishna doesn't have anything to do. That means he doesn't have to do anything. So for him, then the pleasure of interacting with the devotees is the real pleasure. So based on the platform of prema. So then, since you have nothing to do, you have to create something to do. Therefore, the village of Vrindavan, the forest of Vrindavan, the Jamuna, the different places that they can go, and this and that. Because you go to those places, you do those things. You go to the Jamuna, you bathe there, you're in the forest, then you run around, you take care of the cows, you're in the village, then you do different things. You understand? So when he's in the village, then Mother Jashoda and Nanda, but that'll be the prominent ones, the elder gopis, like that. You're out in the forest, and then the cowherd boys will be, then you go off from the forest, that, then the gopis will be prominent. Does that make sense? When you go out to the forest, the cows are there. Does that make sense? Right. So that's the whole thing, is that you're trying to get, is that the situations are to create the opportunity for interaction. Right? So kids can just go over into the corner or anything. They can take any situation and make it, but they'll do it for something to play. But the point is interacting. So it's not accomplishing something. They don't care. Just like you see little kids, if they play a game, then you have two sides, and if somebody does something wrong, everybody laughs. Everybody finds it fun. But as they grow up bigger, somebody does something wrong, the team that they're on gets very upset and then harasses them. Right? Because now it's about the game. It's not about interaction. It's about winning. So they actually start to become impersonal. So the tendency is kids are personal, right? Everything's got to have a face on it. Right? Even if you have a truck, it's got to have a face on it. Right? You know, the sun has a face. The moon, everything has a face on it. They're cool with that. Adults then turn everything into impersonal and all that, just cause and effect. And I get the result, then I'm happy. Rather than I interact with people, I'm happy. So for kids, they're only arranging things because then you can interact. You understand? So that's all Krishna's doing. So that's more the natural position. That's why everyone likes kids, because they're personal. And you don't necessarily like adults, because they aren't necessarily personal. Does that make sense? Yeah. So there's, right? So the living entity also has nothing to do but to take part in these pastimes. He assists the internal potency in these interactions that create results that cause interaction between the Lord and his devotees. Does that make sense? So that's what's going on. So, since that aspect is a little bit over most people's heads, and they can appreciate about the concept of the supreme and all-pervading and all the potencies and all that, even a, you know, how you say, straight up-front atheist will buy that one. So if you talk on the Brahman platform, there's no one that can't appreciate that. But as you get into Paramatma, you get into the concept of God, now you drop off the atheists, the scientists, and all these kind of people. Those who consider themselves so-called intelligent. Right? And then when you go on to the personal, then you're just downright sentimental. Right? So that's why then when the Vedas talk about this, they use the term Brahman. But it means Para-Brahman. It doesn't mean just nothingness. So,
to personal and impersonal. Can we say that if the kids are personal and the adults are impersonal, the main thing is like teenager?
Is?
Teenager.
where it switches. Yeah, because when you increase the little kids, they don't have what's their material desire. What's the only thing that they actually have really an interest in, as far as playing. But even that, it's not that it has to be anything specific. So what would you say is of mundane needs the only thing that they need?
Love me and feed me.
I would take the feed me part. Because if they're busy playing, they don't care if you're around or not. You know what I'm saying? But the basic things, but the loving is the interaction. You know what I'm saying? So the only thing is eating. Right? And then when they get tired, they fall asleep. They don't want to sleep. And most of the time, they don't even want to eat. So if they really get hungry, then they start eating. So technically, eating, sleeping, mating, defending for them is not important. But when you turn into a teenager, then they become important. You know? So that's the point, is that then you think it's, okay, these are important and what I have to do to get this. So to get that, I need facilities. So that means I have to have a job. Then that means you work. You get the results. The results are mine. Now I can enjoy these. Even though there's the concept that it should be shared and there's family and all these kind of things, it's not really about the family. It's about themselves. You know what I'm saying? So it's about that secondary aspect of it. So the underlying nature of the soul can still be perceived, but it's just more covered. Because the little kids, they have a body, but they don't identify with it so much. That's why they don't understand cause and effect. Like climbing over the back of the sofa. They don't realize it without, you know, then they'll fall off onto the floor. So they're actually surprised when they hit the floor. Because that's not supposed to happen. Is that what it says? Yeah. Okay. Where are we? We're on inert matter? Okay. Inert matter is undoubtedly energy with potential to interact, but it has no initiative of its own. Right? It means the potency is there, but it's not going to do anything on its own, because being unconscious, what is it going to do? Right? Like you take a copper wire. Does the copper wire sit around and think about, you know, electricity all day, and you know whether they want to, you know, whether it's, you know, they're into channeling DC or AC, or you know, are they into, you know, just you know, how you say 1.5 volts, or you know, 9 volts, or you know, 110 or 220, or hey, I'm going to go for the 11,000 volts, or no, it just sits there. It has the potential to carry electricity, but it has no initiative because it's not conscious. Right? Srimad Bhagavatam therefore comments on the aphorism Janmandyasya Yata by saying abhigya and Surat. In other words, the Supreme Brahman is not inert matter, but he is Supreme Consciousness and is independent. Therefore, inert matter cannot be the ultimate cause of the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material world. Superficially, material nature appears to be the cause of creation, maintenance, and destruction. But material nature is set into motion for creation by the Supreme Conscious Being, the Personality of Godhead. The material nature is one of the energies of the Lord, and she can work under the direction of the Lord, Adyakshena. When the Lord throws his transcendental glance over the material nature, then only can the material nature act, as a father contacts the mother, who is then able to conceive a child. Although it appears to be to the layman that the mother gives birth to the child, the experienced man knows that the father gives birth to the child. The material nature therefore produces the moving and standing manifestations of the material world. After being contacted by the Supreme Father and not independently, the Chaitanya Charitamrita by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes this logic of Ajagala Stana Nyaya as follows, as explained by His Divine Grace Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. The material nature, as the material cause, is known as pradhan, as the efficient cause is known as maya. But since it is inert matter, it is not the remote cause of creation. Right? So Krishna is the remote. He's actually what's in the background and making things work. So you have the material cause, and pradhan is the efficient cause. Right? So the jiva can take part in that efficient cause. Does that make sense? As an instrument. Though he thinks, I'm doing it. But actuality, you're not. Even you're going to put the potatoes into the pot and get the water and get the pot. And you peel the potatoes, cut the potatoes. What are you using? The soul's not doing it. It's using the material energy in the form of the gross and subtle bodies. And also tools made of material energy. So actually, then the working aspect, that's the efficient cause, is Maya herself. So the three modes of nature. So depending upon how you're looking at it, you're going to categorize the different aspects. So in this case, then you're going to see like that. The original fire, its flame, its sparks, and its smoke are all one. For fire is still fire, yet is different from the flame. Flame is different from sparks. Sparks are different from the smoke. In every one of them, namely in the flames, in the sparks, and in the smoke, the integrity of fire is present. Yet all of them are differently situated with different positions. The causing manifestation is compared to the smoke, because when smoke passes over the sky, so many forms appear, resembling many known and unknown manifestations. The sparks are compared to the living entities, and the flames are compared to material nature, the dawn. One must know that each and every one of them is effective simply because of being empowered by the quality of the original fire. Therefore, all of them, namely the material nature, the causant manifestation, and the living entities, are but different energies of the Lord, fire. Therefore, those who accept the material nature as the cosmic manifestation's original cause, Prakriti, the cause of creation, according to Shankara philosophy, are not correct in their conclusion. Material nature has no separate existence without the Lord. Therefore, setting aside the Supreme Lord as the cause of all causes is the logic of Ajagala Stana Nyaya, or trying to milk the nipples on the neck of a goat. The nipples on the neck of a goat may seem like sources of milk, but to try to get milk from such nipples would be foolish. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.10, 45, purport. Right, so, you have the material energy itself. Then you have that potency, where Maya is then is making all that happen. Right? So, we have to be able to, means all that is the material creation. But it has the two aspects. So the pradhan itself, or just the material, the various elements themselves aren't actually doing anything. That's being done by Maya, who's empowered by Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? Because he's glanced, therefore now it's happening. Right? But otherwise, earth is sitting here, it's the same as when it's in pradhan. It's still just all mixed up with everything else. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we're good? Yes.
This analogy of fire, flame, spark, and smoke. And given that, what is smoke compared to?
He said here, cause and manifestation. Sparks are the living entities, flames are material nature, the dawn. So in other words, you have the 24 elements, but then you have the cause of manifestation where these elements then are dynamic. So that's the smoke that creates all the different forms and all that. Right? Because the flames are just the flames that's what you're working with. But the smoke is then what makes all the different shapes and everything that we think are is what's going on here. You know, it means whatever's going on here, we see, okay, that's a tree, and that's a fence, and that's a bicycle. But actually, it's just all earth, water, fire, and ether. You know, so that's the point is that Vivarta means that there's a transformation, but we are mistaking what we're dealing with. We're taking one thing for another thing. We take the body as the living entity, when the body is just a transformation of the material energy. You know what I'm saying? So the body's real, and that is made of earth, water, fire, air, and ether. What's unreal for the Vivarta is to think that it is the soul. Right? Or to think the subtle body is the soul. Right? They exist. But that's the... So all the things... So the creation causes all the illusion. They're saying that the 24 elements don't. They just exist. So only when they're when they are then dealt with by the potency of Maya, then they have that aspect. So Maya is just a transformation of the internal potency. Does that make sense? So the Govinda Bhashya. Since Pradhan is dependent upon the supreme cause, Brahman, it has a use, arhatvat, or is capable of producing effects. It produces effects by the glance of the Lord. It cannot do this independently, since it is inert. Right? So the usefulness of something means it's empowered by the Lord. Otherwise, how does it have the potency to do something? Right? So the Lord is the origin of all potency. So it's by his grace, then it's able to produce effects. Because it produces effects, we'll say it's of use. Something can't produce any effect, we'll say it's useless. Does that make sense? Yes, you could say that. Yes, means we can see that. That's why there's duties, because you have unlimited material energy, right? But what do you deal with? Because if you try to deal with everything at once, it'll never work. You have to prioritize. So therefore, then within your duties, that's then what you deal with within the material energy. Right? What feels, what therefore endeavors, what results, what experiences, all that will be done by that. What is the duties? Right? So then within that, then you have to also prioritize what should be done right now. Does that make sense? You know, so then there's the standard and then there's emergency. Right? You know, it's how you say, it's midnight, you're supposed to be asleep, but you're super hungry. So then, what's the priority?
Eat.
Yes. Don't look what's in the fridge. Right? You understand? So that's the whole point, is that you have duties, and then within that, because otherwise the material energy has unlimited opportunities, but we can't deal with all of them. We're limited. So we deal with what sphere we can function in.
What instead of that, for example, if you're hungry, you could put it in the fridge, but rather than, for example, that might actually really
Yeah, so then you just have to see what's the priority there. And definitely don't look at your phone. Otherwise you won't eat or sleep or get up in the morning.
So now without duty we can become crazy.
We can become
crazy.
Basically, because if the mind is just choosing what to do and not to do, that's called crazy. Right? In other words, if everybody's working on the mental platform, but there's a basic kind of general consensus on what's okay and what's not, we will call all those crazy people not crazy. Because they're all doing the same thing. See, we'll say they're clinical because they can't function their senses or they bother other senses. But as long as the living entity is making choices in which they can enjoy their senses and it doesn't get in the way of others also enjoying their senses, we will say that this is a very balanced person. But technically they're crazy. Right? Because they, what should they be doing? They is the soul. They're identifying as the body and therefore their whole priority is what's good for the body. Rather than they're the soul, so therefore what's good for the soul. So the body's engaged in activities that are beneficial for the soul. Just imagining this guy sitting down at the electric company with his tea and then turning on the switch, off the switch, off the switch, off the switch. Then they think somebody called, what? You know, so he leaves it off and all that. And I think it's a guy. Let's back his tea. So otherwise, does that do anything? How does that benefit anybody? Right? Okay. Does that make sense? Okay. Mayam tu prakritim vidyan, mayinam tu maheshvaram. Know that prakriti is maya, and the Lord of maya is the Supreme Lord. Svetasvatara Upanishad 4:10. Yasman mayi srijate vishvam etat. From Padan, the Lord created this universe. Svetasvatara 4:9. Ya eka varno bahudha shakti yogad varnan anekan nihitar to dadhati. The one Lord with his own purpose, by his Shakti, produces many forms of great variety. Svetasvatara Upanishad 4:1. The Lord, after manifesting the scriptures and desiring to make names and forms for the jivas, then pursued Prakriti, who desired to create the universe, but who moves only by his power, and who by his will alone bewilders the jivas. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:10:22. So the material energy would like to take part in service to the Lord, but can only do so by the Lord's grace. So that's the point, is none of the energies can. So he's directly involved with the internal energy. Then from that, the transformation of that as the external energy, and then the expansion of that, the jivas, they all have their position by taking shelter of the internal potency. Right? And through that, then they can act, because the Lord is dealing with the internal potency. Does that make sense? So our connection with the Lord has to be through the internal potency. Otherwise, we can choose the external, and the external is connected to the internal, but we don't get that benefit because we don't see the connection. But when we deal with the internal potency based on devotional service, we see the connection, therefore we get the devotional benefit.
Yeah. Yeah. This last part, we can also say that if we see that, then we see actually internal energy. We don't really see external energies.
Yes. It's the material manifestation, but it won't act for us like material energy, because the point is something, the energy act transforms to give a result, and that result then should give the Lord's pleasure. And because of that, that result in the form of the experience, because it's the experience of prema that's actually the result. It's not the transformation of the particular forms that is the result. You know what I'm saying? Like Mother Yashoda cooks for Krishna, so it's not about the cooking, it's about Krishna's pleasure. You understand? Because then you may not see that meal anymore. You know what I'm saying? So it has that aspect of change, though the consciousness of all the living entity, everything is eternal, but there is, in by perspective, change. Right? But that change only causes results that give eternal experience. Right? Means Krishna had lunch today, that experience is still there tomorrow. And then you put tomorrow's lunch on top of that, now there's that two experiences. So his pleasure is always increasing. right? Whatever you experience is there, but in the material world you experience something and then it drops off. Right? Does that make sense? You know, you can't even remember what you had for lunch yesterday, or if you had lunch. You know what I'm saying? So that's the aspect, is here the transformations, they're temporary, but there's no continuity of consciousness. So you change bodies, there's no continuity of your consciousness in that previous position. But the transformations in the spiritual world don't have that problem. You know what I'm saying? And the results are eternal in the way of the experience is eternal. They'll make variety of manifestations, but those points are always there. That's why in the pastimes you can say, these are the pastimes. Because those pastimes will always go on. But there'll be a slight variety to them each time. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like Balaram kills Pralambasura, so he hits him with his left hand. Next time maybe he hits him with his right hand. You know what I'm saying? Or he hits him with both hands. Or, you know, say, you know, does that make sense? So you have, it's the same pastime, but it will have all these variations. But it will be there, and then you won't see it, and then it'll manifest again, and all that. So it's always there. It's the same personality. It's the same, right? So in this universe, you see, there's the manifestation of Krishna and the coward boys and the pastime of Pralambasura. And as this leaving, goes to the next universe. But the same cowherd boys and Krishna and everybody are there with the same thing. The jiva playing Pralambasura may be different, but you know he's on the material platform, so it doesn't matter, right? So therefore, it goes. Does that make sense? So it's always going on. That continuity is there. But in the material world, then something happens and it's gone. You know. You know what I'm saying? So you know, Caesar may be someone's chihuahua somewhere. You know. So it's just like you know. Then the old lady. Come, Caesar. You know, like that, you know, so that's the whole thing, you know, the lord of the whole apartment. Yeah, so. Yes? By his will, the lord enters Pradhan, which is subject to change, and also enters the jiva, who is not subject to change, and agitates both of them at the time of creation, Vishnu Purana. Right? Because the material nature, that changes. The jiva is the same. Right? But he is the super soul, is there with the jiva, and then his potency with his glance and time and the false ego, then he enters the material energy. We didn't just explain that? The jiva is always the jiva. Right? You know what I'm saying? So that has that eternal position. But Pradhan, though Pradhan itself is eternal as Pradhan, the manifestations of it, those are constantly changing. But the jiva is only one jiva. It's not that he's different each time. Right? You know, it's not like when he's saying, as the jiva goes through the, you know, life, then, you know, when he becomes 13, then he has hair on top of his head that stands up straighter. You know, so it's just the jiva is the jiva. But the material energy, that has all the changes, all the variety that you see is material energy. But you have this, we have this hut here. But, you know, come back after 1,000 years, it may not be here. You know what I'm saying? But then, you know, some people from the University of Jadavpur can be out here with their little brushes and all that, and you know, oh, I found a brick, you know, and stuff like that. And yes, you know, so the ancient, you know, like this and that, and the hunter gatherers, and you know, all that kind of jazz. And they won't know that, you know, Bhagavatam class is going on here. Which? He's not subject to change means he doesn't change. He's always the jiva. Just like Krishna doesn't change. He's himself. The energy is the one that changes. You know what I'm saying? We're a bit too small to change. You have 1/10,000th the tip of the hair, and that's it. What can you do with it? You know, it's not like a balloon. You can take it, make it into a dog, or make it into something else. It's just, you know, there's no size. By my direction, Prakriti gives rise to the universe of moving and non-moving entities. By this cause, O son of Kunti, the universe appears again and again. Right, so through his direction, then we see the material energy is happening. But we always also have to remember is that in here the confusion may come up, and what you're discussing is the difference between the material manifestation and the dawn. Right? So in other words, Maya is controlling the creation, right? But the dawn just is existing. How's that? Somebody. Oh, wow, yes. Yeah, so therefore you'll see it's because you're attributing one to the other, but material energy just stays the way it stays. So Pradhan is just Pradhan. But the manifestations you see, that's the tendency. That's what energy does. It transforms. You know what I'm saying? So that situational aspect of Maya, or you know, is going to change, just like the situational of Yoga Maya is going to change the situations. The people in the situations are they're the same, but the situations they're in, those will change. You understand? So that's the point, is that situation is there. Then you have the activities that gives the results that are enjoyed by Krishna. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. The existence aspect, that's the part that the elements don't change, but the forms of those elements change. Does that make sense? Like that. And so the jivas, you know, the living entities don't have to change because the environment's changing. But if you had the same environment and every time you interact there's different people, it would become a little annoying. Rather, it's better the same people, different situations, right? If you want to go on a vacation, you go with the same people.
That's the point. When you're teaching to somebody, when you're saying that this is what you're doing, naturally, some people who are honest, they will say, people don't change. Nobody changes. As a person, nobody changes. And I said, no, by the means of the old conservative.
No, but you can purify. You can purify, but you're not going to change. Yeah. It's just like you have a horse that's untamed, and then you have a tamed horse. But it's still a horse, and the nature of it is still the same. You understand? But you can bring it to the point of how it behaves. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because of this, we do not entertain the Shankya view, since they hold that Pradhan is independent. For another reason also, Avyakta does not refer to Pradhan in the text. Bhagavatam, verse reference. By their interpretation of the term avyakta, the atheistic Shankya philosophers wish to prove Pradhan to be the independent cause of creation, but she is dependent upon the Supreme Lord.
Who is she?
Pradhan. Who's she? Okay. Nobody knows. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:10:22. The Lord, after manifesting the scriptures and desiring to make names and forms for the jivas, then followed Prakriti, who desired to create the universe, but who moves only by his power, and by his will alone bewilders the jivas. Footnote 8. In his commentary to this verse, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur clarifies the causal relationship between the Lord and Prakriti. Mahavishnu manifested the Vedas at the first moment of his breathing, followed Prakriti. But if he follows Prakriti, that is a fault, because that shows... Oh, he is dependent on Prakriti. No, Prakriti is instigated by his power, engaged in activity under his control. Prakriti is the controller or bewilderer of the jiva, who are also his energies. Why does he follow Prakriti? He follows her because he desires to make names and forms, such as devatas, humans, and animals, for the jivas with no names and forms, by creating gross and subtle bodies and imposing them on the jivas. In order to accomplish performance of karma, jnana, yoga, and bhakti, the Lord created the scriptures before following Prakriti. Sardarta Darshini 1:10:22. Right? So the jiva, if he leaves his position, you know, in the spiritual world, where he has a body, then that means then he'll have no body. Right? And he is a nobody. Yeah. So then now for them to act so they can come up through this process, karma, jnana, yoga, and then get to bhakti, then you need to perform action. Right? Because results come from action. Right? And so the results that the jiva wants to perform actions to get results for themselves, for their own enjoyment, according to their own desire. But the actual purpose of the jiva is to perform activities that produce results for the Lord's pleasure. Right? So, but even though he wants to do things for himself, there is a process, because doing things for himself, he won't be satisfied, and because the only one that will actually deal with him doing things for himself is the external energy, since it's unconscious. Right? In other words, Pradhan's unconscious, but Maya is conscious. Right? So, but what you're dealing with is Pradhan. Therefore, the Pradhan won't care that you're engaging it without consciousness of Krishna. Maya may be annoyed, but Pradhan won't be annoyed. Right? Therefore, then, you know, how you say, by that problem, then you may start to think, well, maybe this karma, jnana, and yoga is overrated, and that there's something beyond that. Then one comes in contact with the devotees, so therefore then the process of bhakti can be taken up. Then you're actually doing the activity you should be doing. But the point is to make this, go through this process, then there needs to be a body and forms in which the body can function, in which you can perform the appropriate activities. Right? Someone's more clever, they figure it out sooner. Someone's less clever, they take a little longer. But in any case, whether it's shorter or longer, the term given is anadi, like means forever. Right? So, then, that whole point is that then when they do come up bhakti, then they're taking, but it doesn't matter, since the purpose of doing an activity is to get a result that's pleasing to Krishna. It doesn't matter if you're using a material body and material elements to produce a result for please Krishna, or you're using a spiritual body and spiritual elements to create a result to please Krishna. Because the point is, it pleases Krishna. That's bhakti. So the form is the same. That's why we say it's a reflection. Now it's just a matter of, you want to go through that process of activity to please Krishna or please yourself. So bhakti is the science how to do that to please Krishna, which means it's about transforming the consciousness. Right? Bhakti is not about the technique. That's all explained in the scriptures. And the scriptures come from Krishna. So therefore, why is it necessary that the scriptures are there? Because in the spiritual world, then you technically don't need the scriptures, because you have the Lord and the devotee's natural affection for him. So the activities they will do will be perfectly in line with pleasing Krishna. Right? So now, what scriptures, what will they define? They'll define this point that everything's about Krishna. But now, what is it you're engaging in Krishna's service? Right? His energy. So when you're dealing with material energy, then you're talking about the activities transforming material energy. Right? So that's all the aparavidya knowledge. Right? But its core is the paravidya, that it's about the transcendental position. So when it's connected to the Lord, it takes on the same thing, so it's spiritualized, so it has the same effect. You understand? But since the living entities here in the material world, since they've come to this material world, they don't know how to do things for Krishna. So they don't know how to do anything. All they know is they want to enjoy all those things that Krishna enjoys. So the scriptures explain what pleases Krishna. Right? So we take the Shastra, oh, it's just rules and regulations and this and that. All this defining is what Krishna likes. That's all. And we don't like it, fine. But then that means we're doing activities. Why? Not to please Krishna, to please ourselves. We'll say they're for Krishna, but are they really? Right? Does that make sense? So let's say I like a particular preparation, and my friend doesn't like that preparation. And so for their birthday, I make the preparation I like. You know, and then offer it to them. Can I really say that that's devotion? No. So therefore, the scriptures define what it is Krishna likes. Right? That's the natural form. That's the Vedic form. So we can say it's old, it's archaic. No, it's eternal. It's mundane consciousness that thinks the scriptures, the material, you know, the Vedic culture and all these things are archaic, are old. They're the oldest because they're eternal. And eternal means present and future. Right? Material means it's past. Right, because the manifestation already happened. You're working on a new manifestation that hasn't happened yet. So you're only dealing in past, in ignorance. That's all you're dealing with here. But in the spiritual world, you're always dealing with pure goodness. It's always in the present that's connected to Krishna. You understand? So scientifically, there's a big difference between the two. What's the difference? The consciousness. But the mechanics of it are the same. So the scriptures give the activities you can do to please Krishna that they do in the spiritual world. But you can choose to follow that to please Krishna in bhakti, or you can choose to follow for karma, jnana, yoga. Or you can make the thing of perversion of the perversion, means that you don't even follow the recommended activities. You just make up your own. Does that make sense? You know? So that's the difficulty. And then we'll say, because we've made it up, oh, it's not practical because of this and that. All you have to do is change what's there. Does that make sense? You know. Oh, we can't keep the house clean, you know, because the dog and this and that. And get rid of the dog and keep the house clean. Easy. You know what I'm saying? We create the situation and then complain, oh, you can't do anything about it. So, pretty common.
Crazy.
Yes.
I thought about the kids.
Huh?
You came to the king because of the kids. It's a bit more complex.
No, you just have to work harder.
Get rid of
that? No, not exactly. That wouldn't be your first option. Okay. Right? So is this all clear what we're doing? So when Krishna he gives the scriptures first, then he empowers the material energy to create the situations, forms and activities, situations in which the living entities can act to ultimately come to the platform of functioning with those activities in connection with bhakti. But until they come to that point, since they come to the material world because of not interest in bhakti, therefore they're giving a material body and all that. Does that make sense? Okay. Oh, okay, now we're at the top. Sutra 144. Yayat vach chanach cha. Oh, Oh, yeyatva, vachanascha. Okay. Yeyatva, the state of being the object of knowledge. Avachanat vat, because of non-description, cha, and. Avyakta does not mean pradan because it is not indicated as an object of knowledge in the text. Sutra Prakashika. Shankya does not admit the existence of God, but rather sums up reality into two fundamental principles, prakriti and purusha. Right? So the masculine feminine principle is a principle of the Vaishnava philosophy, but it means the Lord and his energies. But here they're making it into Purusha and Prakriti, meaning the material energy, not the all his energies, and the Jiva as Purusha. So they're kind of leaving out the Lord and the internal potency here. Yeah. Prakriti is the unconscious principle, which is the ultimate cause of the world. This is their philosophy. While Purusha, the soul, is a transcendental subject whose essence is pure consciousness. Their ultimate goal is liberation, a state in which the soul is separated from matter and is free from of suffering. And the process for attaining this state is constant contemplation of the truth that the soul, Purusha, is different from the body, Prakriti. Right? So in this case, then Avyakta means the body, because they don't have anything else. Does that make sense? So they're only dealing with these two principles. That's why they want to make the body as avyakta. But actually, yeah.
But can we say that they also say the same up to a certain point?
Yes.
For the liberation.
Yes, but this is their complete philosophy. But how do we get to the liberated platform?
By also contemplating the knowledge that the body is different from the soul.
And that's all the more that we contemplate.
No. That we also do. I'm just saying that it's partly similar.
Of course, always up to there, that similar means any of the six philosophies are similar because they're based on the Veda. But they're only taking certain portions of the Veda that they appreciate. You know, it's just like, let us say, in other words, yes, there is the oneness and that's used in a different context. But let's say you've made dinner, right? So many preparations are there. Right? And the kid comes up, picks up anything fried and anything sweet and walks off with that. So do you consider they've had dinner? No. But you could say is no, but it's the same aspects. But it's not complete. So here we're bringing out the incompleteness of the philosophy. So even though if those two elements of Purusha and Prakriti may be correct, but they're not seen in the complete context, so they don't have the actual effect. They won't actually bring about actual liberation. Because if they want liberation, only real liberation is liberation. Otherwise, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like you're on a trampoline and you jump, and then when you're in the air, then you go, I'm flying! You know, like, you know, who's going to take that seriously? Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah, because then if we see it's different from the body, now, okay, it's different from the body, which is true. We'll say the same thing, but now what do you do? If you're different from the body, what do you do?
Pursue self-realization.
Okay, but what is the nature of the self? Where does the potency for that to come from?
Bhakti.
Yeah, so you understand? So in other words, to make it successful, you have to include bhakti. Sorry? Yes, because their whole point is it's just they're the enjoyer. So they're there with Pradhan, everything's peaceful and nice and it's all perfect, but then they kind of want to know, well, what is the difference between themselves and Pradhan? So therefore there's the manifestation, they go through it, they, you know, see what it is, and when they get tired of playing with it, then they again understand their position and merge back into the Pradhan. You know, kind of a waste of time. Why is that there? Why is that existence there? Where did this Pradhan and Jivas come from? Because then you'd have to say the Jivas produced it. If they produced it, why would it give so much trouble? And if Pradhan produced the Jivas, then the thing is, where did, how is what's the nature of pradhan? Because if it's energy that's then affected by the jiva, then how can it be its origin? It would have to be beyond the source of energy. So it has to be, you know what I'm saying? So there's major flaws. Yeah, so I is when they're back in pradhan, and mine is when they're separated. Like that. To this end, they consider prakriti or pradhan to be knowable, an object of knowledge. This stands in opposition to the Vedanta conclusion, which denies inert matter the status of object of knowledge. Moreover, even if one were to adopt the Shankya position, accept pradhan as an object of knowledge, nowhere in this passage is that designation applied to avyakta. Therefore, this text fails in all respects to correlate avyakta with pradhan. Right, so the object of knowledge is Krishna. That's truth. Huh? So pradhan is never seen as a object of knowledge. It may be something that is knowable, but it's never the object of knowledge. Understand? And how do we know? Is as an energy of Krishna. Right? Sri Govinda Bhasya. The followers of Shankya hold that liberation is caused by distinguishing pradhan from the jiva, purusha. Thus they say that pradhan is an object of knowledge for gaining certain powers. Because no words in the text establish avyakta as the object of knowledge, it does not mean pradhan in this text. Right? Bhagavatam verse reference. According to Vedanta, pradhan is material nature in the unmanifested state. It therefore cannot be an object of knowledge. But the atheistic Shankya philosophers take pradhan to be not knowable. Therefore, the conception of pradhan is altogether different from the Vedic explanation. Right? So they're taking elements from the Vedas, but making a philosophy that's not actually what the Vedas say.
Speculation.
Srimad Bhagavatam 3:26:10. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "The unmanifested eternal combination of the three modes is the cause of the manifest state and is called pradhan. It is called prakriti when the manifested when in the manifested stage of existence." Right? The unmanifested is pradhan and manifested is prakriti. In his comment on this verse, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur clarifies the distinction between the terms avyakta, pradhan, and prakriti. To better appreciate this purport, it should first be noted that Shankya philosophy posits that the whole universe is evolved from the three gunas. The state in which they are in their natural equilibrium is called prakriti, and when their balance is disturbed, they are said to be in vikriti, the heterogeneous state. The three gunas are said by the non-theistic Shankya philosophers to be the ultimate cause of all creation. But the point is only when it's imbalanced. So if that's the cause of creation, that's there, but then the whole point is if there's only purusha and prakriti, that means then the gunas have to come from pradhan. You know, but then pradhan being inert, why would it be a point of discussion? You know what I'm saying? So they're missing the aspects of how is this going on? Why is pradhan? Why do we have the manifestation of the modes? Why is that working? Where does that potency come from? They'll say it's their desire to know, but that means they're having that potency. But we see in practical life, nothing that we do is based on our own potency. We understand that's coming from the material energy. So if we can't even do something simple, how can we run the whole material creation? You know, it's like the impersonalist. I can't even manage my own life. I'm miserable. Therefore, I'll merge into Brahman and become God and be in control of everything. Right? That doesn't seem to work. You know? It's not logical. But they like it. It's popular. Okay. We'll stop here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jaya Nitya Govinda.